Yeah, that really exists.
So we're recording now. Hi, this is Mr. Michael Bean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker, Freedom Fiends radio show, from a rotating, twisting, vibrating satellite high above Alpha Centauri in the dog patch region of San Francisco, talking to Vantana Rowe. You guys both have headphones on?
Yes, let us go. There?
You get a tiny echo, but it's kind of psychedelic.
We have virtual spiritual headphones.
Yeah? Can she talk? Can you guys share the mic? You're using the Ben Stone mic, right?
Yeah.
You got it today?
Yeah.
We are using the official legendary Ben Stone mic.
The torch has been passed. Isn't this cool? Like, we can both talk over each other on Fiend Phone, which sounds like a bad thing. Oh, you can talk over each other. But no, like, it doesn't cut out for a second before and after. You know, talk with me.
Yeah,
let's talk together now. So we are both talking.
We can talk together.
Phone.
There's no
we
dom.
Can hear each other.
There's no sub.
There's no sub. Yes, and we're talking about submarine sandwiches and dimethyloxymethylate. No, dom. Yep. So who are you people and why are we talking to you on the Freedom Fiends? How do I know you?
I think basically why we're talking, why we're qualified, is that we are doing this from a Panda Express parking lot, and you think that's kind of cool.
I think it is. Well, I thought you were going to say the reason we're talking is because I dated your mother in the 80s when you were 7, and I met you then.
Thank you.
I mean, that's part of the canon. That's part of the text, the great texts of Dear Leader Michael Dean. That's what you guys call me now, Dear Leader. Now that I'm running your lives, aren't you?
Yeah. If you showed up any earlier in my life, you might have been my dad, you know?
Well, you know, when I started talking to you again 9 days ago, and I think we've talked 45 hours in the past 9 days, I actually had to stop and think, now, wait a minute. What's the fate that we're talking? Am I his dad? And I'm like, no, I met him about 6 months after I met his mother. And he was 7 years old, and I did have some blackouts, but unless she was playing an elaborate ruse, like, you know, she slept with me and I don't remember, and you're really my kid, you know, that could have happened. She could have been like, well, I want his dad to be in his life now that he's sober, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want him to take him away, so... Yeah, and this other guy's giving us some money.
It's a wide enough
kidding. I'm
like,
kidding. But,
seven, that's a safe range.
That
you met me
that
at
you're not,
seven.
That you're not my kid, or that you could be.
That I'm not, though. I wish.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Oh well, I'm kind of adopting you guys. You don't look like me. You don't look like me at all. My daughter, my late daughter, God rest her soul, Amelia Wirth, who died of leukemia in 2006. She looked like me. I mean, it was weird too when we'd hang out because we looked so much alike that. They're like, wait, are they brother and sister? The age difference was so weird because I was 18 and a half when she was born. So it was like, and I looked young, you know, so I looked, you know, I've always looked about 5 to 8 years younger than I am. So I'd be hanging out with her and they're like, well, it's not her creepy boyfriend. You know, she's because they look so much alike. They're obviously, is it her cousin? You know, it can't be your dad. He's too young, you know, because she was. Let's see. So when she was like 12, I was 18, 28. 20. I was like 30, but I looked 25, you know? So it looked like I had her when I was 12 or something. Yeah. But no.
How did you make it to past 27? You did everything so quick. You're like, you're the classic case of the guy
club.
Who would pass away
well,
then.
I wasn't quite famous enough for that. You have to be a little more famous to die for the 27 club, like Jimmy and Janice and Kurt and who else? Bunch of people like I don't even know, like the drummer from
Robert Johnson,
Grand Funk or something. Yeah, Robert Johnson, who his song. You ever heard his song? Beat my woman till I'm satisfied.
The new soul.
Guy's a bad man. Yeah, go on. What? Huh?
Wow.
You never heard that?
Bad to the bone.
The guy who invented rock and roll, Robert Johnson, the old black guy.
Yeah, he was the first soul to be sold to the devil.
Well, I don't know. I think people were doing that in the Middle Ages too, weren't they?
Fine.
Yeah, but the first one with a guitar, he played acoustic
cool
music
one.
That sounds like rock and roll. It's weird. But it was like 1938 or something. And yeah, he has a song that says, I'm going to beat my woman till I'm satisfied. Yeah, it's very unpolitically correct. You know, and it's probably not consensual, fun, you know, marital love games he's talking about. I think he's talking about, like, horrible things that we don't condone here on the Freedom Fiends. Assault. I believe in the non-aggression principle. You guys will once you believe everything I believe. You guys are blank slate politically.
Of course.
I like it. But yeah, the non-aggression principle. I have to say something about libertarianism every hour. So I'll say do the one for this hour now. Yeah, so
there's a quota.
Yeah, it's a quota that I've made for myself. So so non-aggression principle is the idea that
sounding good. We have the cushion over it. We have the
we're rolling.
We have the foam.
You have the mic condom on it. The foam. Yeah, the windscreen.
That's correct.
You should. You should always have that because without that you get a lot of and P's and D's and B's on the, you know, they're called plosives.
Are we allowed to say that Vantana wrote S is D? Can we say that or no?
No. Yeah, you said it, but no, you can't.
That's the gray area.
I'm beating you guys into shape here of doing real adult grown-up media. Yeah. I mean, I can always edit, but I don't want to. So other than the fact that I knew your mother in the biblical way back in the day, and you are my spirit. I'm not going to say you're my son yet. That's too. It's too soon. It's only been 9 days. But you're my kids.
Too soon.
You're the kids. My wife calls you the kids. You know. Oh, you're going to talk to the kids?
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So she's really happy about all this. It's keeping me busy.
Good.
You, Vali, you should get up on the mic a little more. Just cheek to cheek with your man there.
Oh, I'm here. Yep. I'm right here.
Yep. So, but we're going to talk a lot about a lot of things. I was going to talk about the libertarian. Ideal of the non-aggression principle, which doesn't mean pacifism. You could still be violent as heck if you need to as a libertarian, but only in self-defense and only to the point of stopping the person. So we are peace-loving hippies, libertarians, not you and me, but we, the people on the Freedom Fiends generally. A lot of us carry guns. A lot of us live places you can carry guns. You guys think that's insane because you're in California and all your fans are going to be like, what have you gotten yourself into when they hear this?
It's different screaming at people on the streets while holding a gun. So that's why we leave the guns out of the show.
Right. Well, you guys scream at people on the street, which sounds horrible, but we'll get to that. There's something on radio. There's basically three rules on radio. So have good mic technique, which means be up on the mic, but if you yell, back off a little bit, back off a foot. So it's all kind of the same volume. We use compressor too, but that helps a lot, is kind of being your own compressor, which also helps with live performance too. But really with most of what you're doing live, you probably just have to scream full volume no matter what you're doing to be heard on those crappy little sound systems that you got in your van. I mean, they're not crappy, but you know, compared to something with a lot of dynamics and a good range and good low distortion. So,
she belts, so she doesn't need a PA.
Right.
She
so belts. The non-aggression principle is the idea that you do not initiate aggression. You can return violence if someone attacks you. Like if someone runs up to you with a knife, it's fine to pull out your gun and shoot them. It's not fine to chase them with your gun and shoot them while they're running away if they drop the knife. You just let them go.
Right.
So,
right.
And this kind of coincides with legal self-defense in a lot of places, not California. In California, someone can be on top of you with a knife about to kill you and you can, you know, with a gun to your head and you can hit them with a bottle next to you and defend yourself. And it can be live streamed on the internet and you may not go to jail, but you'll still have to be sued by the family. That does not happen where I live.
Yeah. See, and I've heard things like that before. I don't understand it. I heard a story where there was a burglar that went into a house and he basically like sued the family that he was like breaking into their house.
Happens all the time.
So
in California, they can do that. In Wyoming and much of the Mountain West, you cannot. Like it's in the law here that if a person hurts or kills someone in self-defense and it's decided by the court to be self-defense, to be a good, you know, what they call a righteous shoot, the family cannot sue you. Which doesn't mean you should go out of your way to shoot people. It's horrible. But and really, like, shooting people is a last resort. And from everything I've heard from people who have done it, I know a couple people who've shot someone in self-defense, and it irrevocably changes your life in ways. Like, you will have nightmares the rest of your life about it. You'll think about life differently. You'll be sardonic and, like, bitter about things. And also, like, you know, maybe the family can't sue you, but one of them might try to kill you. He might be like, I don't care if I go to prison. That guy killed my brother, my twin brother. That guy was my heart, man. You know, I don't care what my brother was doing. He was hungry. He had a bad upbringing. I'm gonna do what's right for my family. And someone may just come and, you know, come up and hit you in the back of the head with a brick. It doesn't matter if you're carrying a gun. He doesn't care if he goes to jail. You know, it doesn't mean everything's good. But yeah, there's a woman in my movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Mama Liberty, my friend Susan, in Wyoming, who's a nurse who's probably about 68 or 70 now, retired nurse. She shot somebody in California, not lethally, but shot him and just left, just moved out of California. Talks about it in the movie. It's fine. It's been so long. But yeah, it was like some dude, you know, was aggressing on her. She lived kind of out in the country. Her husband at his work, he had a shotgun. Mama Liberty grabbed the shotgun. You know, it's full of bird shot, which isn't quite as lethal as buckshot. She, you know, scream. He's like, I'm going to, you know, give me your money. And she's like, you know, the guy's like 20 feet away. And she's like, I'm going to shoot you. Get off my property. And he's like, give me your money. You ain't going to shoot me, you old lady, whatever, you know. And just went back and forth a few times. And she said, if you, you know, take one more step, I'm going to shoot you. And he backed away a bit, but then he started walking towards her and had a knife. And she did what you should not do, which is fired a warning shot over her head. Like, if you're going to fire a gun at somebody, generally, legally and ethically and tactically, this is not legal advice, but tactically, you probably want to shoot them center mass. They always say, too, like, why'd you have to kill him? Why didn't you shoot him in the leg? It's really hard to shoot someone in the leg when they're moving. Shooting them in the heart is the easiest thing to do. It's hard to shoot him in the head. It's hard to shoot him in the arm. People go for center mass. So, because that's the stopping bullet, too. Like, you can shoot someone in the leg, you won't necessarily stop them. I mean, they may bleed to death, but they can still bludgeon you, you know? So, man, your fans are going to be like, what is this? What are you doing? I thought that the title of the show was How to Live in Your Van with Vantana Roe. Well, you know, get moved to a place where you can protect yourself would be the first, you know, get in your van and drive now to somewhere, to Nevada.
That will be fun.
Yeah. So
some quote drive-bys there.
Yeah. Well, your drive-bys. Okay. The other thing you don't do on Reddit, you don't cuss and you don't bury the lead and you finish stories. That's the thing. So like on a lot of times when I interrupt myself on the radio and it's kind of Conan-centric parenthetical, like thoughts within thoughts, like sometimes I'll start a story in the first hour and finish it near the end of the second hour. But if you don't finish it, people will feel unsettled. So you got to finish it. I always try to have redemption in the third act, which means the end of the show and also the end of an hour and sometimes the end of a segment. But my stories are too long-winded to do that. But like, you know, kind of wrap it up at the end of an hour and then wrap it up more at the end of the second hour with something redemption in the third act, something hopeful. Because a lot of talk radio just scares the poopy out of people and doesn't have any, you know, it just leaves you like, yes, I will buy whatever they tell me to. I'm terrified. I will buy colloidal uranium
so
enemies
far,
to
this
keep
one
away.
Should be called guns and drive-bys. So,
yeah, but it's not
going to
be called that. Yeah. So the drive. So the other thing is you don't bury the lead, which means like, first of all, since it's on talk radio, which is a general audience, not a specific audience, you know, like a podcast, you know, you can have a podcast that's, we have a joke on the Freedom Fiends that podcasting can be so narrow that you could have a podcast that's only about fly fishing, trout fly fishing and Maserati repair. And those would be the only two topics. And you could, there'd still be like 800 people in America that would listen to every episode of that, you know, but radio, you're just broadcasting. It's like shotgun out to the community. You know, if podcasts are like a laser and, you know, radio is more like a bomb even than a shotgun. It just goes in every direction. Boy, I've just said all the keywords that's like, you know, okay, wait, talk
everything.
Radio, libertarianism, self-defense, A+. Bombs. No, bombs are immoral because they don't have a specific target, you know?
A-
yeah. The only like self-defense, that. Self-defense has to be directed at the people with, you know, when you have what's it called, blowback, when people get killed who aren't the target in military, unintended consequences, yeah. collateral damage is immoral, right. It's not self-defense,
right.
So you know, if there's like when the United States government drops, speaking of bombs, when Barack Obama authorized dropping a bomb on a 16-year-old American citizen who'd done nothing except been the son of the wrong father. Yeah, that was immoral. Yeah, you know, and it's so weird. People are like, oh, Obama's great. Democrats are great. Obama killed black children. Obama killed, you know, it's funny too, because Obama said Trayvon Martin looked like his son. And I'm not going to pick a winner or loser in the Trayvon Martin thing. That was really complicated. And that guy was kind of playing cop and kind of wanted to, anyway. So, but the kid he blew up, Alalaki's kid, grew up in Denver, went to school in America's schools, played video games, and got blown up in the Middle East by the CIA, or by the Air Force, actually, with Obama's signature on the death warrant, because the guy's dad was someone who hated America and was, they thought was, you know, they killed his dad. And then they were like, well, the son's 16, he's going to grow up and avenge his dad. So they killed him. That's really, really immoral. That is not, That's a war crime.
That sounds like something out of an action movie.
It is.
Like, that's insane.
A bad action movie, a mean action movie. But the kid really, like, Trayvon Martin didn't look like he could be Obama's son. Obama said that. Trayvon Martin was really dark-skinned. Obama's kind of light-skinned. This kid that he blew up looked like he could be Obama's son. He kind of looked like Obama. Yeah.
It's dark.
Yeah, it's dark. No pun intended. Okay, so yeah, politics are horrible. All politicians are immoral. I guess you can vote for the least of offensive if you need to, but don't feel good about it. I don't vote. Don't feel good about it if you vote. Don't feel like, this is the most important. No, it doesn't matter. You know, the only reason the president matters is because he picks the Supreme Court. He doesn't really matter what he does while he's president, because the next president can undo it, which is happening with, you know, this one and the last one. I don't like Trump, but I like Trump being president because it's really amusing to me, because everyone in California's head is exploding. Like they wake up every morning. You know, for a while I was like a born again Christian as a teenager, and then I got like terrified of the devil because I was a Christian. And every morning I'd wake up like happy, like I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm good. Life is great. I'd wake up like with this new resolve to live. And for about 15 seconds, then I'd remember there's an entity called the devil, and I'd live in fear. Like I did this for like 9 months. Did you do this too, Volley? You sound like you.
Yeah, I definitely had. I mean, the way that I grew up was definitely not, it wasn't a lot of the devil. I mean, there was a little bit of that.
It was the Southern the California
had a time
devil
period where it was like that.
Diablophobia. I call it diablophobia, but but that's how leftists wake up now about Trump. Like, you know, they wake up, it's good. My life's good. I like my family. I like my job. Oh, wait, there's Trump. Ah! And liberal tears, you know, are what I lubricate my guns with. So it's good. God. Not really liberal. I don't have a problem with liberal. I have a problem with leftists. There's a difference. Liberals are, you know, just people who think they're doing the right thing by voting to steal money from people and give it to other people. Conservatives do that too. Conservatives vote to steal money from different people and give it to the army, the military, an empire, to the empire, really. The Empire Strikes Back. So, but, you know, they're all different shoes of the same filthy feet. But I live in a very conservative area and I like it because my taxes are lower and I don't get, you know, mad dogged on the street for being white like I did in California. And is that racist? I don't know. I don't mad dog people because of the color of the skin, but I lived in neighborhoods where they were not predominantly white and people looked like they wanted to kill me and mumbled stuff at me when I walked by on the street, you know?
Some people call it rev racism.
Reverse racism. Is that reverse?
Yeah, but they don't even say the full thing anymore.
Well, because reverse racism, they say doesn't exist. They say people of color can't be racist.
Yeah, they do.
Rev racist sounds like a punk rock name. Like, yeah, oh, that's Rev, the guy with the collar on. Yeah, that's rev racism. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that would be one MC. That would be one.
Speak up, you kids. Talk into your mic. Speak like you're on radio and you want thousands of people to hear you, because they are. So the other thing is you don't bury the lead. So on radio, a lot of times when you're talking to your friends, you'll start this story and you'll be like, you'll have this long preamble before you say what the story is. You shouldn't do that on radio. Like you'll say, yeah, well, you know, you're not going to like this, but I got to tell you anyway. So remember that, you know, like you tell the whole thing. No, you start with like genus, species,
so that's burying the lead.
You know, you go kingdom, phylum, order, genus, species, Boy Scouts, whatever. You don't start with the minutia. You start with, they call it in writing class, they call it the inverted triangle or the crotch method of storytelling, which is it's also called the bikini method because it's a triangle that points down. You start with the biggest thing, then the smallest thing, and then you get down to like the bottom details. Now, the reason for this, they say that back in the day when news was sent to newspapers in faraway cities across telegrams, a lot of times the Indians would come along. I mean, the Native Americans would come along and cut the telephone lines and just, you know, birds would peck them or lightning would strike them. And it was hard to get communication. It wasn't like Fiend Phone now where you can sit in a van in a parking lot of a Panda Express in California, talk to me in Wyoming through a server that's in Minnesota that beams us over the internet to Atlanta, that beams this signal up to freaking outer space to a satellite and beams that down to the radio stations we're on. Think about that. Think about that. That didn't exist when I was a kid. It didn't exist when you were a kid, really, in that sense.
I'm almost OG as well.
At least they wouldn't let me on it back then, you know. So now they'll let me on it. So, yeah. So the idea was you would write news stories. So when you're sending them, you know, from the Chicago paper to the San Francisco paper, if the engines cut the, you know, if something cut the telephone wire, you'd at least get the bullet points, the important points of the story, you know, like
right.
President shot, keeps giving speech, puts on his jacket, and then, like, you know, the, by the bottom, it gets to, like, what his speech was about right. and what color his jacket was. Yeah. But yeah. really, the reason it's not so much because of the cutting the wires thing, it's because it made it easier to cut column inches in a paper. Like, so let's say you have, you know, 20 column inches to fit. You have a 10 column inch long story. All of a sudden, you know, Biptunia calls up and wants to buy some ad space for Fontana Rose, you know, soiree drive-by performance in front of the Warfield, you know, when Cyndi Lauper's playing next week. And then you're like, well, we need 4 column inches here because, you know, 4 column inches is what it takes to really deliver a good Fontana Rose story. So maybe 5 inches, 5 column inches, six column inches. So we have to cut.
Are we getting into puns yet or no?
No, okay. This is a non-ironic radio show. Like, you're a non-ironic band, ironically.
True. Hey, yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And I am paying one neuron at a time. So, you know, suddenly, like, it's, you know, 5 minutes till the deadline when the paper starts getting printed. Oh, wait. Biptunia just bought Fontana Rose some ads. We got to cut 5 inches. So they'd cut 5 inches off the story. They'd still have the top 5 inches, and it wouldn't even seem like anything was cut. Because in newspapers, that's how they write. At least they used to. They still kind of do now in printed newspapers. Like, you know, you could cut the article anywhere, and it would still read as an article. So that is how you talk on radio. Because a lot of times on radio, too, like, people leave and don't come back, or they drop their kids off and have to get out of the car and come back and miss something. And which is why I'll say this is the Freedom Fiends radio show. And we are talking with Fontana Rose, a band featuring Jamie and Vali. Your name, I keep getting Vali. I've never met anyone named Vali. Vali, Hassenpfeffer. No, Blase.
Weird.
Blase. Yeah. It's your last name, Blaze. Spelled Blaze, but it's Blase.
Hey, I saw your t-shirt from across the room. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. I looked all over for t-shirts with designs and sayings that define my unique taste, and I finally found it.
Who makes them?
Wormshirts.com.
Wormshirts.com?
Yeah, Wormshirts.com.
That's weird. Why'd they call it Wormshirts.com?
Probably because Wormshirts.com is easy to remember. Worm, like the critter that crawls on the ground, and shirts, like what they are, t-shirts.
Wormshirts.com. Cool. Do they make them for women?
Yeah, they have men's, women's, and children's styles, a bunch of colors, and all sizes, and they're quality cotton shirts.
I'll look up wormshirts.com right now on my phone and check it out. Wow, they have lots of designs. I've never seen any shirts like these.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Hey, let's get out of here. We'll go over to my place and I'll order some shirts on wormshirts.com. Then when they arrive, I'll try them on for you.
Worms!
That's wormshirts.com.
I really think you need the diacritical mark on the E to be blasé, but you don't like it, huh?
No, we love it. We misspelt it on the... Never mind.
Once, and it's always...
On the marriage. When we got married, we had a chance to modify certain names.
Oh, yeah. So you kids are legally married, so they're not sinning, you people out there in Radio Land. So this is kosher. They live in a van together, but they're not living in sin. They're married.
Yeah. She's Volley. You could just call me Beach Ball.
Volleyball, Volley Beach Ball. It's a weird name. I like it. It's hard to... I was trying to Google to see if there's anyone else named Volley, but there's so much about volleyball that I just couldn't find you.
There's
other volleys. Are there other?
Yeah, you have to make the distinction of volley name meaning.
You sound so Valley Girl sometimes.
It's funny, actually.
You sound Valley Girl, even though you're from... Where are you from, Volley? I know where Jamie's
from. Yeah, I'm
from
the East Bay.
Okay.
So...
Yeah.
Not that far off.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of going with this theory of, let's see, is it possible Jamie's my kid? Because, so I was speaking, my friend Newt, who I was going to introduce you to, my friend Newt was really active in recovery. I can't say a particular program because that'd be violating people's anonymity, and he's got a weird name. But so we were going to 12-step fellowships when we got sober in the early 90s, mid-90s in San Francisco. And he was my best buddy. We hung out a lot. He helped me move to San Francisco. He was so cool, man. Like, so San Francisco, my upstairs neighbor was beating his wife I kept calling the cops. Finally, he was beating his wife when she was 8 months pregnant. I called the cops. Another time, he and his wife were screaming, ran out of the building, and then we heard a baby crying, and my girlfriend went upstairs, and their baby had crawled out onto the sixth floor fire escape and was just sitting there looking for his parents. And my girlfriend scooped the baby up and then came downstairs and just sat in the hall talking to the kid and playing with him until they got home. And, you know, the dad just walked by her and just grabbed the kid and didn't say anything to her and just walked away. Like, this was what my neighbors were like. And like, they were both threatening to kill me. Like, the woman had, you know, Stockholm syndrome. They were threatening to kill me, both of them. No. And I put a restraining order on them. I had the police serve it. This is back when I called the police. I wouldn't call the police now. That's not a threat. I'm not saying I would have just moved. I didn't think I could move, but I moved to LA and my life just got better immediately. Actually.
Yeah.
You asked about LA, but, I was ready. I was done with San Francisco, where nobody has ambition and where it's uncool to have ambition. And I moved to phony LA, but in phony LA, everyone has ambition and it's cool. 'Cause I don't care if they're all trying to write cheesy screenplays in every coffee shop. At least they're trying to do something. You know, they're trying to better themselves and get out of the van.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the van. The name of this episode, this is going to be the link bait and the actual news you can use. The name of this episode is going to be How to Live in Your Van with Vantana Rowe. And how to get out of living in your van. There you go. That'll be good. Well, no, that'll be in the show notes, but we're going to have that episode after you get out of the van, after you get an apartment. So,
all right.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? So why are you in a van? You used to have people that loved you and cared about you. What happened?
I know.
I'm kidding. Yeah. So I'm trying to think if you could be my kid. And I'm like, so Newt and I were both kind of players in 12-step. Like, everyone knew us. People wanted us to speak all the time at meetings because, like, everyone else was old and frumpy and cranky and bitter. And we were, like, young and full of life and rock and roll. And like, we're sober, man. Let's party. We're sober. Let's rock and roll. And, you know, so he had me. He did a lot of service. Like, he was, you know, like, did meeting, like, took speakers to meetings in different cities. And he took me one time to speak at this meeting in Contra Costa. And, like, we were kind of known. Like, you're not supposed to be known in 12-step, but, you know, that's part of it's anonymous. There's supposed to be no egos, but there are, you know. And there's little celebrities. We're mini celebrities. So there were, like, people were like, oh, that guy from that band Bomb, that guy who should be dead, but he's sober, that guy's speaking tonight, you know. So I'm wondering if your mom heard about that. And was like, oh, yeah, I remember. I saw them 6 years ago. You know, he got me in the baby way. You know, maybe she knew and went to that meeting. Because she was at that meeting, like, front and center. She was there with her, like, four sponsees, you know. Oh, wait, am I breaking her anonymity? Nah, she don't care. She puts on the internet that she's in recovery, doesn't she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, she doesn't care.
Yeah, so, you know, your mom was, like, front and center at that meeting and brought, like, four, you know, sparkly little sponsy biker, ex-biker girls that were all, like, 19, you know.
Wow.
They were, like, too old. They were already used up and thrown away by the community that they'd been doing drugs in. So she picked them up. I mean, they were still, like, NA beauty queens. Oops, 12-step beauty queens. You know, the ones that still have all their teeth. That's the joke. Yeah, but... she sponsored everybody, and I sponsored everyone that everyone else had fired for relapsing, and she just sponsored everybody. So, but she was probably front and center at every meeting, you know? So basically it was like she showed up at a meeting and was like 5 feet away from me, under me, with a passel of cute girls, you know, and she was like the cute older girl in the middle of all of them. Like a fan club. It was weird. It was cool. I was like, man, the gifts of recovery, you know, and she just locked onto me and I locked onto her. And like, I was speaking and I was just looking at her and just speaking from the heart, God flowing through me in recovery. And she was looking for that. And I was looking for that. It was like, we were looking for, you know, people that weren't boring in recovery, and we found it. And we were like, you know, isn't she a Gemini? I don't believe in that stuff, but she probably is. I don't know. But
she's a Sagittarius.
Yeah, it worked. It worked for a while. It was good. But then we were friends after
What's
that.
What's your sign?
We were friends after. What's your sign? Gemini.
What's
my wife
sign?
And I are Geminis, which, you know, what is it they say? You put two Geminis in a room and they'll sleep together and then blame you for it? No, something like that. I've heard that. I don't know.
That's a good
but,
one.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I met her. But no, I'm not your dad. You look like your dad. I've seen pictures of your dad. Don't you?
Okay.
You don't think so?
Yeah, my dad's also like blonde, blue-eyed kind of thing.
Yeah, but, I'm blonde or blue-eyed.
The lips are exactly the same, so that would be like a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't look anything like me. I look like Barney Rubble. Yeah. You're taller and thinner, and I'm short and squat. Although I was skinny and short. I'm really short, though. You couldn't be my kid. You're too tall.
There's a guy who called me Barney Rubble in a battle rap once, though.
That's funny. That's a good insult.
Because I cut my hair at the time. Ah, I had like an emo
bowl cut.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of emo and screaming without a microphone, do you guys know the first emo band? The first band was called Emo?
No. It wasn't American Football, I'll tell you that.
I don't even know what that is. No, it was Rites of Spring. Rites of Spring was a band in D.C.
We're taking notes.
In the early 80s.
Legit.
The singer was Guy Pachaco, whatever his name. A couple of them were in Fugazi later. Like, it turned into Fugazi. But, it was the first band that was considered emo. They did, like, 9 gigs, 1 record, then broke up. That was the Discord Records punk rock way that I admired a lot. Like, if somebody left the band, you didn't replace them and go like, oh, we can't, we got to keep the name. No, you wrote a new set, you replaced them, you changed the band's name, and you wrote a new set and put out a new record.
By at least a letter, word.
No, by a name. But it didn't matter because people on Discord were fans of Discord. Like whatever band was on that label, they knew was good and they'd go see it, you know, and buy the record. So I saw Rites of Spring at a club in D.C. in about, I don't know, 87, maybe 88.
We're saving them on 84. Spotify right now.
I don't
now.
Know. And you what?
We're actually saving them on Spotify. I just saw
that. Yeah. Oh, Rites of Spring are amazing. So they were playing at this club called Food for Thought. It's a restaurant that was owned by Dante Fernando, the drummer in Iron Cross, who were not Nazis, but people thought they were Nazis because they were called Iron Cross. They were teenagers who didn't know better. You know, they're like, oh, tough. You know, like bikers have an Iron Cross. We'll be tough. Like they didn't realize like you're a Nazi if you wear an Iron Cross. But so that guy had a Dante. I know him, buddy of mine, had this restaurant, you know, after he was in Iron Cross and got his act together. And almost all those Discord bands like came from money, at least upper middle class. Like, you know, the singer in Marginal Man, that Hawaiian kid, his dad was a U.S. congressman, still is, you know, like the congressman from Hawaii. Like those guys were.
Is that what makes them so angsty?
Yeah, because they have everything.
Is it kind of like a lower functioning affluenza? Or a higher
function. No, because these people didn't just sit around and blame others. They like built communities and built a whole world outside of the mainstream media, you know? I mean, people offered Fugazi $1 million to sign to a major label and they're like, no, thank you. We like what we're doing. You know, they wanted all they're control freaks for their own stuff, which you should be. You should be a control freak for your own stuff. I'm a control freak for your stuff because I'm remolding your career in my image. But we'll get there. Yep. So this band, Rites of Spring, was playing one of the 9 gigs they played before they broke up when somebody went to college and they changed the name, added one person and became Fugazi. They were playing this gig and like it was so weird, man. Like Ian MacKaye from Fugazi, Minor Threat, who's like now Mr. Peace Punk. Like he used to beat people up all the time at shows. Like I saw him get in a fight and just pound the tar out of someone at that show. And I asked him about it later when I interviewed him for DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist at his house in Arlington. And he's like, well, you know, I was protecting my friends. Like I saw one of my friends get punched and I just jumped in. And, you know, we don't do that now. We avoid fights. We try to talk our way out of it. But, you know, he was young and dumb and, you know, he owns it and it's fine. It was self-defense. It was defending. So defending another person is fine, too, you know, for violence. I don't think you should use violence to protect property. It depends on the property. That's all your leftist friends are just going to disown you for knowing someone who says that right there. But they don't have any property, so they don't really care about defending it. You know, what is it? Communists? I mean, they don't share toothbrushes, but they share everything else probably. So if they use toothbrushes. So, you know, people were being really rough at this show. It was like the audience was moshing and or whatever, slam dancing, we called it back then. And the guy who owned the PA system, like this club didn't have – it wasn't a club that had a PA. Like back then, like there were 4 guys that owned PA systems and they just – you know, for $200, they'd show up anywhere and do a gig in a warehouse or a party or a restaurant. And that was a thing back in D.C., because there weren't really places like bars wouldn't have bands, and a lot of the bands were underage and their fans were underage and they couldn't play bars and bars wouldn't have them anyway. So they'd play like, you know, a Vietnamese restaurant on a Sunday afternoon, or they'd play, you know, a print shop or a warehouse or someone's basement. And they're playing this restaurant and they'd rented a PA. And the hippie who owned the PA was really worried that his stuff was going to get damaged. In the middle of the in the middle of their set, he cuts the mics and like everyone goes, whoa, what happened? You hear the band playing, the singer just kind of yelling, the band stops. And you're like, what happened? The guy's like, the guy just runs up on stage and starts packing up his mics and cables. And, you know, they're like, you're not going to get paid. He's like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not. I'm leaving, you know, and he just left. He just loaded his stuff up. And so the band finished the set playing full volume with the singer just standing on the edge of the stage, screaming into the air. And the audience knew their songs and sang along. It was just the most, it was spiritual, man. It was beautiful. Yep.
That's so tight.
That was tight. It was tight. So why do you live in a van? And how are we going to get you out of it?
I want to.
Go ahead.
I
get up on the mic, though. Get up on the mic.
I'm here. Yeah. Am I up? Am I about
good.
It?
You're good. You're on it. Okay. Get up on it.
Get up on it. Vantana Row lives in a van to save money because paying rent
one neuron at a time.
It's just silly. It's just there. It doesn't make any sense. And also, nobody wants us living next to them because we're loud. So,
yeah. That's a very, very concise answer. So, all right, what are you saving money for? An RV? You should get an RV. RV is a lot nicer than a van. Like, and living in a van, you kind of look like you're homeless. Living in an RV, you look like you have a mobile home. You know. And you feel like it too.
Well,
like RVs are comfy. Okay, we're back
that's
on.
What I meant.
Yes, I've had cats that look like they're up to something. So what's Jamie up to? I can hear that. You know, I can hear that. So
yeah.
before we get back to the van thing, we got some logistics to take care of here, and this is a teaching hospital. So I'm making the T-shirt. So we're getting you all suited up in your Biptunia clothes to wear in rock videos.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we're rolling. Yeah. So
right.
We got,
so were you talking about a pullover shirt?
Yeah.
Sweater?
So I'm making. So you wanted. Here's what I'm willing to do for my little sponselings, my little sponsees. So you, I was going to buy you some shirts. Oh, by the way, Vantana Row, people should support them. And you might think, oh, they're bums. They live in a van. But no, these people are trying to better themselves. They're seriously dedicated to what they're doing. They're not leftists. They're learning about liberty. They're living in a van. They're making cool music. They're giving it away. They're bringing it to the streets. They're bringing it to the people, down to the common man, the working woman of San Francisco, enlightening them. And then, you know, they'll be poised and famous once I get them lit enough politically that they'll just turn on a switch and start screaming about the non-aggression principle. Boy, that sounds ironic. Yeah. Screaming at people about the non-aggression principle. And, you know, so you're probably funding a future, you know, liberty behemoth. But if you're not, you're keeping kids off the street or on the street who aren't out being leftists. They're not out, you know, they're not out throwing bottles at Milo. They're not out screaming. You know, I taught them that you can't like the uncoolest thing any musician can do is back any politician. So these are good people. You should go to their Patreon, go to Vantana Row, go to VantanaRow.com website. I helped set up, go to their Patreon, give them $3 a month, give them $3 a month. If you're giving me money, give me $3 a month less and give them money. That's what I've been telling people to do.
That's really sweet. Yeah, that's a dedicated sponsor, y'all.
Yeah, but just you know, it's actually a little voodoo mind trick. We'll both end up with more money from that. That's how that's how art karma works, man. I'm gonna trick.
That's right.
I found the loophole in God, man. That's from my book, Starving Becoming Beautiful Woman. Cash Newman finds a loophole in God because Cash Newman is not sober. But his good friend, the bartender, is sober. And
That's messed up.
Well, the bartender says, well, there's a lot of sober bartenders. It's very common. It's not messed up at all. And it's actually, they're there when the person hits bottom. They can 12-step them. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. But it's weird, though, that you can – it's okay to be a sober bartender, but it's not okay to be a clean drug dealer. You know, like they look down on that in NA. But in AA, you can be a sober bartender.
That's confusing. That's why I said
it is. Yeah, I'm curious.
Dude.
I'm curious now that pot's legal in California, if everyone in AA and NA are smoking pot and still calling themselves sober. I really want to know the answer to that.
Yes.
Are they?
They are.
They are. I figured it.
I mean, and just in my little experience,
I got nothing against it.
I don't know that many people in AA,
like,
but
yeah. But AA and NA are like, you know, everything's a drug. You can't even smoke pot. That's a drug. Like, I remember going to a meeting in like 1995 or six and somebody talking about how they had, you know, like degenerative bone disease and they were smoking a little weed medicinally. It was not legal then, but they were doing it anyway. And they've talked about it in their share. And there were people smirking, like, in like going like, you're not sober, man. That's not sober.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll bet now that it's legal, since people put so much value on what the government says. I'll bet they're like, oh, it's okay, you know.
Well, I know, I don't know how people who are like OGs feel, but I know that like everyone and their mom smokes weed now. Like
everyone and
here.
Their mom.
Like it's, it, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Don't talk
Seriously,
about Susie that
like,
way.
Aw.
No, not her. I assume
yeah,
not her.
Not my mom either, but yeah. Most people's moms.
Well, you guys don't smoke pot either because you would lessen, it's weird. Like it's legal to smoke pot in California, but if you smoke it in your van, like they have probable cause to search you and hassle you, right?
Yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't even want to start that dialogue, you know, because they just don't. They can't believe that we don't smoke weed.
They can't believe it's legal.
That stops a conversation.
The cops can't believe it's legal, too, I think. I think they really hate it because actually the police unions, because remember, they had a vote to make it legal a few years ago and it got voted down like 51% to 49% in California. And it was the police union that tipped it. Like the police union put many hundred million dollars into keeping it illegal, you know, into like ads and lies and billboards.
Well,
and
yeah, because that's a ton of money that they were making, being able to fine and put people in jail.
Yeah. And also it's like it's the easiest cops. The whole point of cops, and people could argue like, well, there's a few good cops, but really like even the good cops have to do, you know, the dance of like trying to arrest people. Because,
yeah.
I mean, recently there was what I would call a good cop. It was a cop who arrested another cop for committing a violent felony, and the cop immediately lost his job. You know, that's they got the blue lines, man. It's a thin blue line they can't cross. You know, it's so weird to me when I see a pickup truck here that's got like the thin blue line bumper sticker. You know, the "we support the police" on one side, and the other side they've got the, you know, "don't tread on me." Like that doesn't compute.
Right,
it doesn't
silly.
Compute, man. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that in a libertarian paradise there wouldn't be some sort of security force. There would be. But it, you know, the current thing is the whole thing is revenue generation. The whole idea is getting you in the back of their car. That's their goal. Even no matter who you are. Yep. And people, a lot of people in jail aren't criminal type people, and they end up in jail because they don't think like criminals and they don't gird themselves against stupid things. Like, you know, they're like, oh, I have nothing to hide. You can search me. And then the cop plants something, or the cop like,
yeah, they trust them, dude.
The
That's
cop goes
so
like,
true.
Oh, this is a nice pickup truck. I'd like to own this for my department. You know, I'm going to plant something. Or just, you know, they find something that you didn't know was illegal that you have, or your stepson left a joint in there, or, you know, when he borrowed the car, any number of things. Like people, there's people sitting in jail because they didn't say, no, I don't consent to be searched, you know, and there's people in jail because they
just super crazy.
Yeah. Cops love pot. Yeah, cops love pot being illegal because, I read a book by a cop called Arrest Proof Yourself about this. And he said, like, they hate drunks and they love potheads because when you arrest a pothead, like, they don't fight you. They're meek. They're like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm a criminal. They apologize. And then they just quietly sit in the car and put their head down and feel bad. And you get to feel superior
and
arrest them.
So messed up.
Whereas with drunks, drunks will punch the cop when he tries to arrest them. They'll fight back.
Yeah.
They'll pull a knife. They'll try to grab the cop's gun. They'll punch the cop. They'll kick the windows out of the car. And then they'll crap their pants, pee their pants in the back of the car and vomit. And the cop has to clean that up. So they hate drunks. They love potheads, man. They love them because they're like little meek people they can push around. What are you listening to in the background? I hear something going on there. You can't be watching TV while we're doing a radio show, Jamie.
Are you editing
the video?
It was the idling of the car. It was humming.
It was the unboxing. So you made an unboxing video.
Also, there was a street sweeper, too.
Oh. And you're talking about the cleaning vehicle, not the semi-auto or the full-auto shotgun called the street sweeper.
Oh,
that's
no,
a thing.
Yeah. I forgot. That's like a common thing
that's not a, well, I don't like the title of that gun, the street sweeper. Ugh, that's actually a police name for that gun. That gun is used in South Africa for dispersing people who are peacefully demonstrating, and they call it the street sweeper. Yeah. So let's see. Let's get around to why you're in a van, but we got to talk more about me first. So I came into your life 9 days ago. We've talked an average of 4 hours a night, 4 hours a day at least. I've sent you two packages. I've sent you hundreds of dollars worth of equipment. I've vamped up your website. What did I do? What else did I do for you? Gave you an idea for a but you didn't.
I mean, when Jamie was seven, you changed Jamie's life.
Oh, yeah. I changed his diapers. I changed his first diapers, and then I changed his life. No. How did I change your life? Yeah, let's hear that story.
Yeah, go in.
Basically, you came into the life. You came into the apartment. Let's go specifically. I remember that I was talking to you about this earlier, where I was being a smart aleck, wasn't going to my room or something, and then something along the lines, you came in. I did not imagine you talking, because I wasn't used to any guy that she was hanging out with actually talking to me. So you actually were like, hey, Jamie, I think you called me Jamie then, too.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what a CD is? Because I was being like a know-it-all or something.
Yeah.
Something
did you?
Like know-it-all light, L-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Know-it-all light.
Yeah.
And you were like, you know what a CD is? And I was like, music? You just broke down the technology.
Yeah.
Compact disc. It's rad.
Oh, I talked about like the Blue Book standard versus the Red Book standard. Disc, and
you made it very lengthy then.
Yep. Hey, do you guys know about Cell 411? Cell 411 is a free app that you could get if Jamie wasn't on a Windows phone. It's a free app for Android. For Android and iPhone that allows you to set up cells of friends and family that you can call instead of calling people that will show up and shoot your dog. Or, you know, what is it recently? Like some family called the police because their son was suicidal and the police showed up and killed him. Like, you don't want that happening. So if you want to call your family or friends, you get Cell 411 and it will give your family and friends by the push, one button push, it'll like start broadcasting audio and video to them, recording it to the Cell 411 servers. So if it gets deleted by the, you know, cop or the Antifa that takes your phone and smashes it, you'll still have the data up to that point for evidence. And yeah, it tells them where you are and how to get to you. Like if your kids are being bullied and, you know, you had an older sibling in the same school, it could be used for that. All sorts of things. Get Cell 411. And if Jamie ever gets a non-Windows phone, he can do it. Yeah. So Windows phones are good. There's just like such a low installment rate of them. So few people have them that, that people don't bother making software for them. So
yeah.
I'm making this t-shirt for you. I'm making this thing for you. So is black okay? I wanted to know that.
Black is preferred. Black okay, is black the is highest preferred. Tier.
Okay, then black. Then that'll do. Yeah. That'll do. That'll do, pig. yeah. All
right. That's right.
So I think that's all I got to know before we talk about you. Oh, I guess we didn't finish talking about how we came back into each other's lives, Jamie. Did we? What happened?
That's right. No, I don't
speak
think
up.
So.
Get on the phone, boy.
After you verbally razzed me and you...
About what?
You brought me down to the ground.
About what?
Asking me about the technology of a compact disc.
Oh, when you were seven.
While I was age
yeah.
seven.
While you were eight.
And not prepared for that question.
Yeah, I don't remember this, but I believe you. It sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, I think your voice was just burned into my memory. Saying that.
Didn't I give you a cassette, or your mom gave you a cassette of my band Slish with me singing?
That's correct. She played it all the time, and it was that red tape Slish.
Yeah.
And I actually had forgotten that the cover was black, though. And it was like that.
Oh, that weird drawing of like
what
body
call,
parts.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It
organs.
Reminds me of that during that period, like Guar, all of that is the
yeah.
font was like
yeah.
anatomical mess.
Yeah. Mess. Guts. Yeah. So do you know about my connection to Guar? Yeah, you got an echo going
Tell
on
me
there.
About
turn,
your
down, turn down your squeakers a little bit, or point the mic away from your squeakers.
Okay, let's turn them down. We saw Dave Brocky in the movie last night when we were watching it again.
Yeah. Dave in the DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, my first movie. Dave Brocky was a really good friend of mine. We dated the same woman. He was in Richmond, Virginia. I was in Charlottesville, but we played in each other's town a lot. I opened my band Baby Opaque, played a few times with his band Death Piggy, and their music's on YouTube. If you search Death Piggy, Death Piggy is what turned into Gwar. So Death Piggy was a weird jazz rock punk band that had crazy songs like Bathtub in Space. And when I think of mangoes, I think of stoats. When I think of stoats, I think of you. They were great. They were fun. But they started doing this thing where in the middle of their set, they'd do a couple songs as this thing called Gwar. And it was a joke within Death Piggy. They, you know, they didn't really have the elaborate costumes yet, but they'd have a little bit of it. And then the guitar player in Death Piggy stabbed somebody and went to prison. So they just started to do it, got other people and did Gwar full time. And it turned into this huge thing. I played a gig with Gwar before they were big in North Carolina, at Raleigh, North Carolina. And there were more people on stage for Gwar in Gwar than there were in the audience. That's how early I played with Gwar. And Gwar, like, you know, pack out the wharf. Gwar are still playing with no original members. Brocky died of drugs a few years ago. The official cause isn't drugs, but I happen to know it's drugs. Yeah, Brocky was a good guy, man. I really liked him. We were good, good friends. We didn't see each other that much, but, you know, we knew each other going back to like 84. And I have a scar on my forehead that had three stitches that you can see if you're standing in front of me and look like, oh yeah, you have a little scar on your forehead. That's from Dave Brocky accidentally hitting me in the head with a bass guitar in Charlottesville, Virginia at a Death Piggy show where he was like, somebody brought these, remember this thing called soccer boppers? They were like inflatable fists you'd put on your hands and then punch each other. That was like good clean fun in the 70s and 80s. So somebody brought some of those to the show and handed them to me, and I blew them up and put them on, and I just jumped into the little jazz rock punk slam pit and started hitting people on the head. And at the same time, Dave Brocky jumped in the audience with his bass to like crowd surf playing bass, and he just hit my head, just cracked me in the head. Show stopped, blood everywhere. You know how like head wounds look worse than they are? I went to the hospital and he's like, dude, this is how we really met. I didn't really know him that well. We became friends after this. And he's like, dude, don't sue me. And I'm like, I'm not going to sue you, man. And he's like, I'll tell you what, any show I play the rest of my life, you're on the guest list plus one backstage pass. I'm like, okay. You know, as they're taking me to someone's driving me to the hospital. And I took him up on it. Like every time Gwar played in San Francisco, I think he was like resented that, you know, so many times I'd show up like five people like, yeah, you know, and I'd bring a bunch of girls and he'd put them through the meat grinder on stage. That's what they did. They, you know, it's a band that put women through a meat grinder on stage, literally. And then it's kind of a fake like magician's trick. They'd sneak out the bottom, but fake blood had squirt out. It was cool. They were great. They were Beavis and Butthead's favorite band. That's all you need to know about them. So, more. Tell me about Van Tannenbaum. How'd you end up in the van, and what's your plans? And I'm not saying that like, you're bad, you need to change your life. I'm saying that like, hey, I think what you're doing is great. It's not that bizarre to live in a car. You know, there's a lot of people who are like, there are people who 5 years ago would have been listening to the show going, oh man, what a bunch of losers. They live in their car, who are now living in their car. Because that's how the economy is. Because the elites want to keep everybody poor so they can boss them around and control them and have cheap labor, to the point where everybody's like one paycheck or one hospital bill away from the street. A lot of people are, you know. And I'm blessed. We're like probably four paychecks away from the street, which is like rich in America, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how'd you end up and what are you going to do about it? Tell people some tips on how to live in a van and live like – I told you you should have a – you should write a Kindle book. Sell it for a dollar called Live Like a Star in Your Car. And I think you should do that and then have Jeremy Feen write the foreword because he lives in a car too.
Jeremy Feen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has this like show actually been blessed by some of his tips for living in the car?
No, he just complains about how the government's oppressing him, and he actually has good reason to. That's what most of his shows have been for the past. He's going to get mad. He's like, I talk about other things, Michael, and he listens to every show. So. But yeah, I don't know. He's had this ordeal of getting messed over by the government because he criticized a government agent and they don't like that. So they just came down with the hammer of Thor. Also, New York State's a police state. It really is. It's worse than California, you know, in a lot of ways. It's actually, too, like people say, oh, California have the worst gun laws in the country. It's hard to be a gun owner there. Actually, New York State has worse gun laws. And there's like a really thriving, you know, gun culture in California. And nope. But yeah, New York State, it's like illegal to own a gun, almost as illegal as they can make it. And they actually, when they went to, like, you know, when they decided, okay, if you have 10 rounds, that's no longer okay. If you have a, you have to have a 7-round mag. If you have a 10-round mag, you're going to prison. And they put signs, billboards, the government puts billboards all over the state that said, if you know anyone with illegal guns, call this number and get a $500 reward. Like 50 Whoa. Pieces of silver for Jesus kind of stuff, you know, 30 pieces. Like basically, like, turn in your gosh. Friends and family who were not felons yesterday, who are felons today, and we'll give you money. It's so evil, man. That is like nobody gets helped by that. People only get hurt by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And my dad, like, moved out of the state right before they did that. Like, right after he moved to retire in Florida, like, he had a 22 rifle that was, you know, had a tube mag that was not removable, but that was still illegal because he can put 13 rounds in there. A little 22, Billy's first rifle, you know, squirrel gun. Man. And yeah, he would have been a felon. They would have done it too. They would have been like, we don't care if you've been a tax paying, good, honest, adult, flag worshiping American, voting American for 90 years. Yeah. They would have put a 90-year-old sick man in jail. They would have. They think nothing of it, you know?
Yeah. Trying to make that money.
Yep.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
And create the illusion of control. And the irony is that, like, the places that have the worst crime are the places where guns are the most illegal, like Chicago.
Oh, yeah. No, I think LA, I said that to you, in a phone conversation recently. I was saying that that's, for me, that's why I think it's silly. I personally think that, like, you know, I'm not really interested in guns, but I think that anybody should be able to have guns if they could pass the tests and, you know, make sure that
I have a little problem with the pass the test part, but I think it should be enforced by societal shame. I make videos on gun training. Like, I've contributed to that by, I make videos, I give them away free, I sell them, they're on the internet free, you can watch them. You know, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz, produced by Michael W. Dean. It's on Amazon. Get it. Or you can watch it on YouTube. And the beginning of my movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, has a cute girl giving a gun safety lesson for 2 minutes, which is like, yeah, you'll pay attention. It's a cute girl. So that's why we had her do it, you know? And I think it should – I can hear my echo. I think, and furthermore, it's like my own just like self-righteousness screaming back at me. I think that if somebody is like using a gun unsafely at a gun range or at a family gathering, I think people should just be like, what are you doing? You know, I think it should be looked down on as much as it would be looked down on to like take off your clothes in church and, you know, start screaming. Right. I think it should be like not necessarily illegal, but people will physically stop you from doing it, you know, or like people that love you will be like, dude, you're embarrassing me. Stop it. You know, that's
like
how I think
initiative.
That's how I think gun safety should be taught. And it's kind of weird to me that even in places where there's a lot of deep gun culture and gun, like guns are taught in school in Wyoming, literally, like you could take a hunter safety class in high school here, like in California. That would be a hate crime. Like, that teacher would be fired for teaching that. But, you know, in California, like in Wyoming, you can do that. But I even so, like, I've gone out to the public range out in state land here where people go shoot. And I see people all the time muzzle sweeping each other's feet when they're walking around with a pistol, walking around with their finger on the trigger when they're not ready to shoot. Just all sorts of guns. And these are not crazy gangbangers. These gangbangers are worse. Yeah. I've been to ranges in L.A. They're full of gangbangers and cops, basically. But Yeah, like people need to learn gun safety, and it's really basic. And I'm not going to go through it on this show, but Google the four rules of gun safety and learn them. Okay, so anyway, you guys and your van, what's up? It's a big van.
And drive-by.
Yeah, your drive-bys. Talk about your drive-bys.
Well, basically, she'll get off work. I'll get off mindlessly and hopelessly making instrumentals for Taxi.com. That's a plug.
Okay, wait. Taxi.com, what is that and why are you wasting time with that? Isn't that where you try to sell your stuff to, like, the movie industry? That's not how you're going to get in the movie industry.
I know. I almost know. If I did know, I wouldn't be doing it.
Does it cost you money to do?
That was my excuse. That was my out of that conversation.
Yeah, we're still in here.
That was my
we're
out
recording.
Of that question.
So, heck yeah. What's up?
Very, very much yes. I do pay money for it.
Ew. That's not how you get in films and TV. You get in films and TV by knowing people. You know, you really do.
I agree.
I'm gonna Google.
I agree.
Does Taxi.com work? I'll bet it's gonna say no. If you want to make money in music, you run something like Taxi.com that works on the hopes and dreams.
That is correct.
When you type in does Taxi.com, it autofills work. That's the first choice.
No,
the first taxi worth joining. Yeah. Your stuff's not going to end up in a movie by sending your stuff to that. You guys could end up in a movie. Really, you know. To taxi or not to taxi. Yeah.
What did I just do there? Was it blowing my lead?
I don't know, but I have a friend in LA that makes a living. I have two friends in LA that make a living doing music for movies and films. Yeah. I should just introduce you. That'd probably be better than, although I don't know if they'd want to help you because you'd be competition to them, but you know, I could probably get it out of them. I probably have something on them. No, I'm kidding. All right. So don't do that. Don't do that. Put that money in the bank toward a RV. What do you think about that goal? Get an RV.
No, I am not sure if we.
Well, the only problem with an RV is that parking is like so much different in the city. It's hard enough.
You really can't
park
live in the city. It's
big...
kind of like a mothership thing. Like you have to park. You'd have to park the thing at Susie's and then have a van to drive to it. You know.
Yeah, we've kind of gone through that whole conversation in our heads, and it's just not.
But
it doesn't
Michael
work.
But with Michael W. Dean around, we'll go through a reprise, of course.
No,
I mean when we're older and we're trying to like park, you know, I guess it would be different. But it's, you know,
we're trying to park. We just want to park. That's all we want is we just want to park now.
Just let us stay right here.
Yeah,
this still could be turned into a punk song.
Yeah,
I just want to park.
Yeah,
something like that. Can this mic pick up me beatboxing two steps?
So I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm reading something on gearsluts.com. That's the name of a website. I can say it on radio, which it's a big music, like it's a gear, you know, musician site.
Yeah.
And there's a to taxi or not to taxi. And someone said on this, I've heard that a bunch of these pseudo music library sites are also into providing black market fake IDs and driver's licenses.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know if... Do you have to send your ID to them to use them? Maybe that's... I don't know.
No.
I'm not slandering them. I'm reading something on the internet and laughing at it. I don't know if that's true. And also, you know, technically, like, if you're not using someone else's name and not stealing your identity, you know, where's the victim in using a fake ID? I'm not saying people should do it, but no victim, no crime, man.
Victim is the government.
Yeah, the victim is the people that want to put you in a little box and take your pay one neuron at a time. That's your line. I love that line. What is the line? Say the line. It's all about how you're cool because you're in a van.
Neuron.
Yeah, because you're in a van and everyone else is bad.
Neuron.
Yeah, what is it?
What, babe? You wrote it.
Paying by the neuron.
What's the whole line?
Are you in shock right now?
Yeah, she sounds.
The song's
like
called Gope.
Yeah, Gope. What's that mean?
Yeah, it's a portmanteau of of gold and hope.
Oh, Gope. That's cool, man. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You taxi.com looks horrible, man. It's just no.
It looks horrible. It could use some MWD website.
No, it couldn't.
Remixing.
No, it couldn't. So
you're like, I would never support this company.
Yeah, I would never. How much have you given them?
You scolding me, lightly telling me about this is like giving me flashbacks to when I was seven. About the CD.
I don't remember this, but I believe you. I really do. I really think that when I was 35.
I was impressionable.
Well, I think that when I was 35, I would have probably – my ego was so frail at that point that I probably would have gotten a little charge out of being smarter than a seven-year-old and proving it. So, yeah.
No, but Jamie was acting like a brat. You were Jamie.
I was just snipping his tail.
I was being sassy back then.
Yeah, you
being
still
annoying.
Are. Yeah, and I'm trying to get it out of you. I basically told you today that you need to work on not – talking to people like, ugh, you need to not do that. You need to not sound like, I don't even know anymore. Are you being sarcastic?
I know.
I don't even know anymore.
I'm trying to tell you that it's the privilege that you have. I only treat you this way.
No, and I think you don't. That's my theory, and that's the important part is I think that people who talk to their friends like that will talk to their boss like that. I think they'll talk to the director who wants to put their music in a movie like that without realizing it. So, yeah. Everyone's a loser except you and me and her and my wife. So, and all the Freedom Fiends listeners. Everyone who listens to us is on the right path to the dear leader. So, yeah, man. More about your van and your life.
More
your
about
van
the
life. Van life.
It's painted. Hashtag. We have Walgreens 4x6s all over it.
What are Walgreens 4x6s? I don't know what that is.
So we make big banners, but instead of printing out big banners, we actually just break it down in Photoshop a large picture we want into 4x6s. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
and we order a bunch of little prints and then we put them together like a puzzle and tape them together and then plant them on the van.
Brilliant.
This is all just so that we don't have to pay for a decal.
Yeah. So you can pay like $5 for a decal instead of $195 for a decal.
Yeah. And that's how we stenciled our logo is we put
paste?
That thing up.
Yeah. Use wheat paste?
Oh no, not wheat paste. It was just tape. It was just duct tape.
Literally just duct tape. This whole thing.
You need to fix one of the A's in your logo. It doesn't look like an A.
I know.
It needs a hole in the middle of it.
Hold on.
I'm pulling it up.
Now, I totally get what you're saying, but
yeah.
If we would change it, it would just be like making that circle the cutout.
No, just copy one of the other A's. Just copy one of the other A's and move it over. It'll be fine.
But it's like one of those things.
Right? No,
yeah, it's one of those things where it's been long enough. Like,
no,
you know what I mean?
It makes it hard to read it. It makes it hard to read it, and it's not that big a deal.
Yeah,
it makes it hard to read, small especially. Yeah.
What about for a metal band? For a metal, but it's actually pretty legible.
Metal bands have logos that non-metal fans can't read, but I think metal fans can't read it either, but I think someone tells them what it is or they hear it the first time and they think they figured it out. Kind of like graffiti. Kind of like graffiti tags.
Yeah, you
like
just
graffiti
it's like
tags.
Facial recognition. You just memorize the look of the scrolling.
The points, yes. The points, yes.
The points, yeah.
Points, yes. Yes. So what else, kids? What do you got going on?
We were watching Demolition Man the other night, no?
Oh, yeah, because I'm in it, sort of. Yeah. How am I in it? Explain that. People don't know that. It's weird.
Yeah, so I don't want to go through like synapsis or anything like that.
Synopsis or synapsis or neurons and dendrites.
Synopsis. I have an accent.
Fusing together.
I have an accent.
Yeah.
So when the so what's her name? I always forget her name.
Leela Huxley, Lenona Huxley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically her room is filled with, 21st century, 20th.
Us.
No, he said late 20th.
Yeah, the 20s. Yeah. You're addicted to the 20th century. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, Lethal Weapon movie posters.
And
she didn't
have no Nirvana poster. She didn't have any she didn't have Queen Kiss.
She didn't
Lethal
have
Weapon 2, I
and
think.
And she had Bomb, my
and
band.
Bomb.
She had a picture of my face on
Bomb.
Her wall. Well, they were all Warner Brothers products. That's the common denominator of what she had. And it's a Warner Brothers movie. They were just doing free product placement for themselves and being weird. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so rad.
Super cool.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yep. So, you watched that. Did you put some of that in a video? In your unboxing video of the gifts I sent you? Yeah.
That is correct. Vantenero.com/unboxing.
Is it up yet? Is the video up?
Pending.
By this weekend.
So basically, we have a show, two shows this weekend.
Ooh.
And we really need to really focus on practicing.
Yeah.
We have a new set. So we're going to post postpone the unboxing video until Monday. We're going to hash out and get it done.
Good. Yeah, and I should probably not talk to you for hours on the phone every day because you're rehearsing, but I'll find time for you. You'll find time for me.
Yeah, well, it's basically going to be you in rehearsing.
Yeah, that's what life should be. That like, and maybe some sleep. I've slept 5 or 6 hours a night since I met you. But part of that's because it's been really smoky here.
I wish we could be on your schedule, dude.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Whenever you want, you get up, and whenever you're tired, you sleep. Yeah, it's wonderful. Although today I had to get up because I had to deal with a plumber. But yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough for us to work late at night just because of the brightness of the screen. And we have to conceal it with these blanket around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you can turn down the brightness on the screen, too. So you have to hide the fact you're living in the van.
So the tint isn't really enough.
So
we've done tests on it, and it's like they don't see the screen as much. They see our faces being illuminated.
Spooky. So you hide the fact that you're in a van, but you say on the internet that you're in a van and describe the van and have pictures of the van. And
paradox.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's just for people who are interested in us. If it's
cool
enough
people.
To look us up
the
from
cool
what it says on the van,
the cool
then all right,
never,
you're willing to know. But
well, the cool people never talk to the police because that's the rule, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's in the future? What's in the future for y'all?
In the future, we're going to get new tires.
Nice.
We're going to have the Fiend Master create a virtual reality empire.
A VR.
Oh, my gosh.
A Vantana
Michael,
Row virtual
Michael,
reality.
Michael, why don't you schedule our drive-by tour across the USA?
Oh, my
I'm not
God,
your booking agent.
With
Adam,
Google
Adams,
Maps.
Adam's your booking agent. I'm your manager.
Whoa.
There's a difference. In California, that in California, you can't be a manager and an agent legally. It's a weird. It goes back to the Hollywood days. It's illegal to be an agent and a manager for entertainment, for artists or musicians or, you know. It's mainly from Hollywood.
Control?
Yeah. It's like a monopoly thing. And it's also like, yeah, it's something to do with when they split up the studio monopolies in the, I don't know, in the 40s. Yeah. I think it's just a jobs program. I think it's just to make more people you have to pay money to. But.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, your agent isn't getting you any agency. Agent, he's not agenting you, is he?
Is it similar to like when people are dating at the same workplace? Like they won't want that either?
Yeah, kind of. Although everyone in the entertainment industry dates everyone in their workplace. And then,
right.
And then me
date.
Too, hashtag. Not dating. That's beyond dating. But yeah. That whole thing grossed me out. It was like, I don't know. I'm all for people like, actually shaming people to do horrible things, but some of it wasn't even shaming. Like Louis C.K. did consensual things with adult women that were creepy, but you know what's wrong with that? It's consensual, you know.
Yeah, I mean, really, you can't say until you know, and I don't know anything about that.
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I have no idea what happened with him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, people just say stuff, and it's like I feel like most of the people that said something didn't know anything about it. So
yeah,
I don't really know.
Yeah. So
wow.
So where are your shows?
He must have really not liked his latest special.
Where are your shows coming up? What are they?
We've got at the Honey Hive Gallery in SF on the August 3rd. We're going to be playing with a band called Girls Over Flowers. Which
I saw
sound
that
equally,
name. It's weird.
Yeah. Okay. And they're just as abrasive as us while singing.
There
we
was
sing,
a band called Girls
scream.
Versus Boys. I thought it was a takeoff on that. But
right. And then Girls on Drugs as well.
God. That's what Girls on Drugs is abbreviated as God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was GTOs, Girls Together Outrageously, which was Zappa's proteges back in the day. So are they as good as you?
Yeah. I like them. They don't have a bass player, though. So feel free to hate on that.
You don't either. But you have bass sounds in your music.
We have bass frequencies represented.
Yeah.
They don't have a POG. They don't have a polyoctave generator, so... I don't even think they just have a kick drum.
I don't know what that is. Oh, a kick drum? Ew. Yeah.
Oh, the
know.
POG is kind of what Jack White used to have a bass sound on the Seven Nation Army and all that.
Is it a guitar octave splitter or something?
Right. It's an octave, and it goes up and down octaves.
Yeah.
At the same time. Sounds like an organ.
Yeah. these kids today and their machines. Back in my day. Oh, so you guys, when we were going to do this show tonight, you were like, you wrote me an email. I was like all ready to go, sitting here like, you know, like the plump, pretty girl at the party with her favorite party dress on, sitting alone, waiting for the boys to show up. And So you guys wrote me and said, oh, we're going to be about 20 minutes. We got to practice. And I was like, that's cool. At first, I was going to be like, come on, man. We said we're going to do this. And I'm like, no, my protégés need to practice. Gosh, yes, of course.
Oh, and thank you so much for understanding.
I gave you permission to take my time and waste it. No, I always got stuff to do. Yeah. But I do like who say they're going to do something and then do it. But you wrote me and said, I mean, you could rip me and said, we'd like to, dear leader, we'd like to please do this. But it's okay. You guys are
right.
Snippy.
I know. I knew that we really needed to. That was me saying that. We hadn't got to all day, and it was one of those things where it was like, we got to do it now.
But when you said, when you said you're gonna practice for 20 minutes, I was thinking about my band Bomb. It was like 20 minutes, man. We wouldn't all even be in the room yet 20 minutes after we were supposed to start practicing, and then when we'd all get there, like, you know, I'd have to drink beer. Tony'd have to go shoot heroin. Jay and Doug would smoke pot. We called him Jug. Jug would have to smoke pot. Then we'd have to fight for about an hour. Then we'd have to talk about how cool we are. Then Jug would have to tune their guitars and noodle while Tony and I are trying to talk about what songs to play. And then we'd write. And then we'd rehearse for like 5 hours. Yeah, so that was a bomb practice. Yeah. But it was very efficient once we got going. But yeah, the lead up to it was, you know, 8 of your practices before we'd really start rehearsing. Or writing. I hate bands, man. You know, really, I never really did much electronic music. I thought that synthesizers were square. I mean, I liked synthesizers back in the day because I liked Pink Floyd, but electronic music and drum machines and things like that, like, I was against it. I was against it totally for a long time.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Until
that.
I embraced it and went, wait a minute. You mean, because when I was back then, when I was doing it, like, yeah, you know, you could buy an 808 for $10,000 and it would break on the road and it didn't really sound like drums. But now it's like, wait a minute, I can buy a $100 MIDI controller, plug it into my computer and use free software and have drums that sound better than Tony from Bomb, and they won't sleep with my girlfriend, and they don't show up drunk, and they're not verbally abusive, and they don't. Yeah. Wow. I'm there. You know,
yeah.
Like, I hate dealing with musicians. They're all immature. They're mostly, well, I don't know. There's probably musicians going, I'm very mature. That's not true at all. But are you in a popular band? Probably not. Musicians that are in a popular band are usually incredibly immature, including me back in the day before I became the bastion of maturity and calm that I am today, that allows me to be your dear leader and lead you. We're kind of kidding with all this. Yeah, amen. But I am helping you. I like it.
Yeah.
And you know your place. You know that I have something to offer you. And unlike most people who are like, Michael's telling me what to do. But, you know, if you want to take advice from somebody, you should take it from someone who's been down the road you want to be on. And so, like, I was in the coolest band in the world that Jamie loved as a kid. He knows that. He knows I made good music. He knows I toured the world. He knows I made a living at it for a while. And now I've been happily married for 12 years. So I've done everything you want to do. So I'm good to tell you what to do.
Trust you.
So I guess we haven't really interviewed you at all yet, and the show's almost over. So why don't you guys take 5 or 10 minutes and tell us a little more about Vantana Row, why people should care, and where they can find you, and what they can do for you, and what you can do for them. Get up
no
on the mic.
Questions other than that?
Yeah. Yeah. You should. Well, first of all, you should be prepared enough that if somebody asks, you should like rehearse this stuff in the van, record it, and then take notes on it, to where if somebody sticks a microphone in your mouth, you don't go, wait, you need to ask more questions. You need to go, okay, so here's the 5-year plan. Here's our manifesto. Like, you know, like, you need to be ready.
Daddy.
You need to be ready, man. All right.
Hey, I'm ready. I'll go in.
Okay, go in.
So
tap in. Why should they care?
First of all,
why are you different?
Vantana Row is a band that's in a van. And the main reason why we're different is that we make whatever we have work. I think that's the main thing, is that we are like, you know, a do-it-yourself type of band. And we love to play for people. And there's been times where there wasn't an opportunity to play for people. And so we said, okay, let's just go on the street and play for people. And
nice.
Since we're, you know, a partially electronic band, we were like, well, what are we going to do? We have like amps. How are we going to plug them in? And we kind of figured this crazy thing where we use the car stereo. All right. And it just became drive-bys, is what we call them, drive-by shows, where we play for like under 60 seconds and throw a bunch of CDs and then jump, run away.
Yeah, I love it. Yep. And we got new something else for you.
Cool.
We got something else for you to throw now. I designed like a CD case that's not a CD, that has six pennies in it and weighs as much as a CD, and says, we will, and has earplugs and a QR code to listen to music. And it says, we will pay you 6 cents and give you earplugs to listen to our music. You need to start doing that though, because I have that set to post in about a week on punkrocklibertarians.com, which has 195,000 followers, as something you're already doing, because I thought you'd be doing it by now. So you need to at least, why don't you at least make two of those to give out at the show this weekend, or throw out at the show, and then you can actually like legitimately say you're doing it. Even if you have to write them by hand. So there. Yeah. You need pennies.
Yeah,
though.
No, we should be able to print out the deal.
Yeah.
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 No, we got it. We got it. Yes, dear leader.
You need to find someone that like works at Kinko's or owns a Kinko's. There you go.
I know.
I mean, you don't want people stealing from their work. You want the person that owns the Kinko's to sponsor you. Sponsored by Kinko's. There you go. It's got Kink right in the name.
That'd be hilarious.
It's marriage friendly. It's all good. It's a family owned business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So I have good hopes and dreams for you guys. I hope you do for yourself, too. And I'm going to sign off now. You got any closing wisdom, comments, words? Fantanaro.com? Anything else?
Yeah, Fantanaro.com, created by our dear leader.
You have, well, I gussied it up. Did you look at the footer yet? Look at the footer while we're talking. It now says it's covered by the BIPCOT no-gov license. And I didn't put I didn't put it up on the top of the first page. I put it on the bottom of every page. And I also put it on the page, I write for Fantana Row, hashtag I write for Fantana Row, where people can contribute lyrics for you to use in songs. And it says on that page, everything on this site, the music, text, words, pictures, are covered by the BIPCOT no government, and everything you give us to sing, all the lyrics people submit are now covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And that page has a link to the site, but I couldn't put a link in the footer, and I didn't put the full license, the long version, in the footer. It's just the short version, and there's a little longer version on the I write for Fantana Row hashtag page. So
perfect.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. It's good talking to you, cats. People should go to Fantana Row, check it out. They should go to your Patreon, give you at least $3 a month, and they should get your app. Dear Leader made an app.
Yeah.
It's a free app
to watch our videos
for Android. It's got everything.
I mean, videos. Like
you need Fantana Row in your shirt pocket, next to your heart, next to your breast, close to your soul. And this app on
your
phone.
We're planning a U.S. tour.
Are you?
So we're going to be, yes.
Does that mean you're going to go to clubs, or are you just going to go yell at people in streets of various cities? I like that.
Is that not going to clubs and yelling at people gently?
You can go outside clubs. Yeah.
Lovely.
That'd be funny, man. If you went on tour and didn't play any
we're
clubs,
film it.
You just...
We want to get a show on like
okay, well that should
not
be a
National Geographic.
That should be National Geographic. Here we are. be very quiet. We're studying the North American Fantana Row in their natural habitat. So that should be something that you should raise money for after the new album is. You should raise money for the tour to where you don't book shows. But you could book some shows too. I mean, I know a couple people that own clubs. I could book you a couple shows where you could play for your dinner, sing for your supper and $10 and pass a hat at least.
Yeah. Yes.
One in North Carolina, a couple others somewhere. I don't know. I know people that have houses, but I mean, you can book a real tour. You can go get, copies of Maximum Rock and Roll. Does that still exist? That's how we used to book tours back in the day. I think it does.
Wow.
I don't know. All right. We got to go. We got to sign off. Say goodbye. Say goodnight. Say worms.
Goodbye. Good night. Worms.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BOLEHVPN.net.